The first reading is from Acts, chapter 10, beginning at verse 34. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all those who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witness of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel, according to Luke, chapter 24, beginning at verse 1.
Praise and glory to God.
On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.'" Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. This is the Gospel of Christ.
Praise to Christ, the Word. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, I think we've all experienced some good news in our life, may it ever be so small. For example, recently I went to the doctor to have something checked up again after a few months. She examined me and declared that everything had healed satisfactorily and I was totally well, at least in that regard. I could go home without worry. That was good news. Or a few days ago, when my wife told me that an overseas public transport card had arrived on the last day that mail was delivered before our travels. Well, that was good news. Other events like being accepted for a position or a program often are also good news. Or think of the joy of a traveler or immigrant when the visa finally comes through. We have all waited for the letter or that email and were overjoyed when the news was positive. As a community, we also often get good news. For example, when we have been given a grant, when something complicated turns out to be easier than thought, and some damage is finally repaired. For example, I know many of us here in this congregation were quite happy when they heard that finally the damaged stained glass window at the front here would get back in soon. And when it was finally there in all its beauty, I think this was a moment of joy. There are many more moments in our life when we encounter good news. There's even some good news in the national media now and then. A destroyed building restored, some crucial infrastructure finally being opened, and so on. But sometimes we know that others do not celebrate with us when we hear what seems to be good news. For example, when our favorite sports team secures a convincing victory, or when the political parties we support are successful in elections. And when we think of the news that shakes the world at its foundation, then it is more often bad news rather than good. I still remember the day that the airplanes flew into the World Trade Center Twin Towers on 9/11. We knew back there and then that this would change the world. Or think of the day when the lockdown was announced. Yes, the fears and debates about COVID had been ramping up for weeks, but when lockdown was announced, we knew that the world would be changing. Though in that case, there might have been also a glimmer of hope that through this good may come, at least in those early days. Similarly, when we heard about the October 7th attacks in southern Israel, the heart of many people sank, knowing that no good would come from this, irrespective of how you stand on this difficult issues there. The world would change as a result of this. At those times, we knew that the world would be a different place from now on. We didn't really know how things might change. We didn't realize the full significance, what directions events might take. But we could see that something important had happened. Sometimes it would take quite a bit of time until the changes would flow into our lives. After 9/11, for example, security was immediately increased at all airports. But the full new security requirements, which meant that we have to be at the airport at least 20 minutes earlier, only came in a few months and then fully a few years later. Other big world events only vaguely filter down to us on a personal level, but we all feel the effects, for example, in a world in which there's less trust and more tension. Now, great events of good news are often not so sudden, and often we cannot see that they would change the world. The resurrection of Jesus there outside of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, that was an event that changed the world, and that was good news. But even then, the disciples could not grasp its full significance. What did it mean for them and the world that Jesus was no longer dead, but was alive again? Did this put the suffering and death of the cross in a new perspective? What did it mean for Jesus' entire ministry? And what does it say about life and death, about the world's ultimate purpose, about God's interaction with the world? How had the world changed? Well, theologians have been trying to work that out exactly for centuries, the meaning of the resurrection. It's clear that the world changed through that event, but as humans, we also have to realize that we can probably never fully understand the full significance of all that happened there in those days in Jerusalem, when Jesus went to the cross and was raised from the dead. Even more than the resurrection just changing history, what was its inner meaning? One could say, even say, what was its cosmic significance? What did it mean for God and the world? But even before we think about the significance of the resurrection, the disciples actually had to comprehend first that it happened at all. The women, when they came to the tomb to put spices on Jesus' body, they clearly didn't expect to find the grave empty. They could not fathom what had happened. They needed the help of the angels to understand the words which Jesus had spoken to them before his death. And when the women then talked to the other disciples, those disciples did not believe the three women because their words seemed like nonsense. What they were saying seemed out of this world, as totally unlikely. So it took encounters with the risen Jesus to really convince the disciples that the unthinkable had really happened. Jesus had been dead and now was alive. Now, beyond the joy, the excitement, the regaining of hope, the happiness at seeing their friend again, they soon realized that this had far more significance than knowing that their master is all right. Something more profound had changed in the world. And based on that experience, on their deep knowledge of the scriptures, on Jesus' teachings, and not least through the Holy Spirit, the disciples slowly worked out what it meant. And so later on, they could look back and say, as Peter did in our reading from the book of Acts, that the prophets testified about Jesus. They realized that God had appointed Jesus as judge, as he himself had told them, that everyone who trusts in Jesus would receive forgiveness of sins through his name. For the resurrection of Jesus is the vindication of Jesus' life and death. It's through the resurrection that the disciples knew, and we know, that Jesus' death was not so much the failure of his mission, but rather the core of Jesus' mission, the moment at which God's great love for us humans was shown. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God's love was shown in God's self-giving, even unto death. The resurrection vindicated Jesus' sacrifice for us. It's clear that he really died for us, as the Bible so frequently declares, that he took upon himself our sins and carried our infirmities. It's because of the resurrection that the apostles and we can say that Jesus was judged for our sins, the judge was judged, the innocent punished, and through that we are forgiven. The resurrection makes it clear that Jesus completed his mission, that his actions and suffering were according to the will of God, that his death for us was indeed salvation. It is through the resurrection that we can also see Jesus' death as a victory over the evil powers of this world. Jesus judged evil by allowing the evil powers to do the worst to him, and through that removed their power. His resurrection is part of this victory over the powers of this world that rebel against God and make this world something of hell. But even more than proclaiming the victory over sin and evil, the resurrection is the victory over death. Jesus took the power of death. Through his death on the cross, the sting of death touched Jesus. God was subject to all the sin, all the futility of human life there on the cross. God was separated from God, became that solitary human being at the time of death. Jesus took the worst of death, the wages of sin upon himself, and died for us. And so the sin, the sting of death, no longer is the final judgment over those who are in Christ Jesus. They have gone over from death to life, for the lives are redeemed and justified through Jesus. God is for us, loves us, especially as we face the final futility of death over our lives. And so that's the sting of death, but it's not only the sting of death that has been defeated in the resurrection, for Jesus really died, became nothing. There was a struggle between death and life. Jesus descended into hell and was brought up again by the creative call of the Father. And since Jesus, the Messiah, was raised from the dead, those who put their trust in Jesus can also have hope that they will be raised in the last days. Paul says that since Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, he is the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. That is, through the resurrection of Jesus, we can also have hope that God can and will continue human life beyond death. Not in the same way as now, but like a plant that sprouts from a seed. Death has been swallowed up in victory. So, drawing all that together, the disciples realized that Jesus is present with them always, not as a memory or a powerful idea, but rather as a person. Jesus, the one who has walked here on earth, has gone through death and is now in the heavenly dimension, and through that is someone who stands with those who trust and believe in him. In Jesus, God continues to be with us and for us, so that even today, 2,000 years later, we can trust Jesus even in our most desperate situations. For if Christ is for us, who can be against us? Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.